Welcome to the library on this chilly November evening. I am so glad you can join us tonight. We have a very special guest. I would venture to say that many of you have a lot in common with our special guest, author Joanna Hurwitz. First, Joanna lived and worked in New York City for many years. Raise your hand if you live or you work in New York City. Wow, that's just about everybody here, I think. Next, Joanna loves books and she loves libraries. Raise your hand if you love books and readings and libraries, especially ones on 53 East 79th Street. Well, did you know she was once a librarian at the New York Public Library? But luckily for us, she is now the author of more than 60 books for kids, including The Park Pal Adventures and The Riverside Kids. Her books are especially appreciated here in New York City, where her stories of Central Park and city life show a true New York City spirit. So please join me in welcoming Joanna Hurwitz.
Hello. I'm glad so many of you came. And I'm going to talk a little bit about my books, and then I'll be glad to answer any questions that you have. And your questions can be about my books, or they can be about being an author, or they can be about who are my friends who are authors, things like that. First of all, I want to find out, how many people here are in first grade? Okay. How many people here are in second grade? Okay. How many people here are in third grade? Okay. Anybody older than third grade? Okay. What grade are you girls in? Fourth. Good. Okay. Fourth. And is somebody? Good. I just want to know. And I think there's somebody here in kindergarten, right? Good. Okay. Well, you know something? My books are for all ages. So I'm glad that you're all here. And that's what I'm going to talk about. You know, when a book begins, it starts out by being invisible. Because a book begins by being an idea inside the author's head. And you can't see ideas, can you? Well, I had an idea. I wanted to write a book about a family who lived in an apartment building in New York City. And I got that idea because my family used to live in an apartment building in New York City. I think all of you live in apartment buildings in New York City too, right? Yeah. Well, usually when you're in an apartment building, you get to know your neighbors, but you might not know all of them. And when I was writing my book, I wanted to write about a girl who was a lot like my daughter. And my daughter was very curious because she wanted to know the name of every single person who lived in our building. So this is what she did. Whenever she saw somebody, she would walk over to them and say hello, and she'd ask them what their name was. And most people were very friendly, and they told her. But one day, when she asked a woman what her name was, the woman said, "Mrs. Mind Your Own Business." And my daughter thought that was her real name. So after that, whenever she saw the woman walking down the street or coming in the doorway of the building, she always called out, "Hello, Mrs. Mind Your Own Business." Now, that's not a real name for somebody. And if you're an author and you write a book, you have to give names to everyone. Now, I didn't want to use my daughter's name because I didn't want to embarrass her. So I changed her name, and in the book, I call her Nora. She's an awful lot like my daughter, but in real life, my daughter is not named Nora. And in the book, Nora has a little brother, and I call him Teddy. Awful lot like my son. But in real life, my son is not named Teddy, because I didn't want to embarrass him either. And in the book, Nora and Teddy have a neighbor who's a good friend of theirs. And I gave him the name Russell. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We really did have a neighbor named Russell. but I changed the last name so I wouldn't embarrass him. And after a while, in real life, Russell got a baby sister, and I borrowed her real name too. And I call her Elisa. Now, sometimes people pronounce it a little bit differently, but I call her Elisa. And that was the real name of our neighbor, but again, the last name was changed. Now, if you're an author and you write a book, you have to give your book a name. Does anyone remember the word that means name of a book? A title. Every book has a title. And I thought to myself, Nora is such a curious girl. Maybe I should call my book Curious Nora. Does that sound like any other title that you ever heard of? What's it make you think of? Curious George. Raise your hand if you ever heard of a book called Curious George. Looks like everybody knows that book. Well, it's a very famous book, and it's all about a monkey named George. And I began to worry that if I called my book Curious Nora, maybe people would think I had written a book about a girl monkey. And Nora is a girl. She's not a monkey. So I thought some more, and I got another idea. I decided that I would call my book Busybody Nora, because that's what she is. She's a curious busybody. Curious George is a busybody too. That's why he gets into so much trouble. How many people here? Excuse me? Right. Okay. How many people here like to draw pictures? Good. Okay, hands down. Well, the man who wrote Curious George was named H.A. Rey. And he wrote the stories about Curious George, and he drew the pictures. How many people here have read any books by Dr. Seuss? Okay, hands down. Dr. Seuss wrote loads of books, and he always drew the pictures to go in those books, too. Well, I have a problem. I can make up stories, but I am very bad at drawing. Nobody would ever want to buy a book that had pictures in it that I made. But you know what? They can get somebody else to make the pictures for me. Do you know the word that means a person who makes the pictures in a book? An illustrator. That's right. So if you bought one of my books or you look at them outside, you will see that my name is always on the book because I am the author. But they'll always have another name, name of the person who made the pictures. That's the illustrator. I only have one job making books. I write the stories. I never draw the pictures. I don't print the words so neatly. They do that in a printing factory. I don't make the covers for the books. I don't sew the pages together. All I do is write the stories. But I have written a lot of stories. I've actually published 69 books, and my 70th book will be coming out in the spring. Well, after I wrote Busybody Nora, I had more ideas about my family. So I wrote another book called Nora and Mrs. Mind Your Own Business. And then I wrote another book about her called New Neighbors for Nora. That's the book where Russell's little sister Elisa is born. And then I wrote a whole book about Nora's brother, and I call that one Super Duper Teddy. Teddy has a Superman cape that his mother made him for Halloween. And Teddy likes it so much that he doesn't want to wear it just one day of the year. So he wears it every day. And when my son was little, I made him a Batman cape. So you could see how I change things around. I write my books. Now, in every book that I wrote about Nora and Teddy, I also tell you about Russell, their neighbor. And I've written some books about Russell and his family, and Nora and Teddy are in all of those books. And the first one was Rip-Roaring Russell. And then there was another book called Russell Rides Again. Then Russell grows a little bigger, and I wrote Russell Sprouts. And then, if Russell's growing bigger, so is his little sister. So I wrote a book about both of them called Russell and Elisa. And then I wrote books about Elisa. So there are 14 books about Nora and Teddy and Russell and Elisa. And when you have many books all by the same author, there's a word we use to talk about all those books. Yep. It's a series, right? You've all heard that word because there's so many series in the library. How many of you have read the Junie B. Jones books by Barbara Park? That's a series. How about the Judy Moody books by Megan McDonald? How about the Cam Jansen books by David Adler? Okay, well, there are loads of series. And I've done many series, too. Now, not every book I write is about my family, because I have written some books about a guinea pig, and I don't have a guinea pig in my family. So I'm going to tell you how I got that idea. One time, I was reading the New York Times. Your parents probably get the New York Times. And you wouldn't believe that there could be ideas for stories in it. But I found a good idea, because I read that somebody working in Central Park discovered 40 guinea pigs running around loose in the park. So the man collected them all, and he put them in a big box, and he took them to an animal shelter. And they said in the newspaper they have no idea where the guinea pigs came from. Well, a couple of days later, another article in the New York Times, and it said they found out where the guinea pigs came from. There was a man who loved guinea pigs. He loved them so much that he kept them in his house, his apartment, really. And the more guinea pigs he had, the more guinea pigs he got. Pretty soon he had 40 of them. And even though he kept cleaning out the cages, 40 guinea pigs is a lot of animals. And it began to smell. And the landlord said, you get rid of those guinea pigs or you have to move. So the man took all his guinea pigs and he brought them to Central Park and he let them loose. Not a smart idea. He should have taken them to an animal shelter or to a pet store. Well, I thought I could write about that. But I change my things around a lot, because mostly the books I write are fiction. And that means it's not true, just the way when I wrote about my family, I changed the names so it wouldn't be true. So instead of writing about 40 guinea pigs, I just wrote about one. And I named him Pee-wee. And Pee-wee is given as a birthday present to a boy named Robbie. Now, Robbie really wanted a dog. Didn't get a dog on his birthday, but he got a guinea pig. And he says, what is this little Pee-wee animal? And his uncle, who gave it to him, says, well, it's a guinea pig. Guinea pig? Oh, yeah, I think they have one. It's well, there he's. Now, he wanted a dog. He's got a guinea pig. It's better than nothing. But since he wanted a dog, he treats the guinea pig sort of like a dog. He doesn't keep it in the cage all the time. He lets it run loose in the apartment the way a dog would. Robbie's mother does not like it. When she sees that guinea pig, she's always jumping. It startles her all the time. And so one day, when Robbie is not home, she tells his dad to take the guinea pig and let him loose in Central Park. And then she tells Robbie that the guinea pig seems to have run away. Now, that wasn't honest. Wasn't very nice. Well, what happens to Pee-wee in the park? Luckily, he makes a friend. I think some of you know what the friend is. Anybody know what the friend is? it's a squirrel. There are lots of squirrels in the park, and they know so much about life in the park. So Pee-wee makes a friend, and the friend is a squirrel whose name is Lexi, because he's been named after Lexington Avenue. And he tells Pee-wee that all the squirrels in the park are named after New York City streets. Bet you didn't know that. He said, he has a cousin named Amsterdam. He's got another one named Columbus. He's got another one named Lenox. They're all streets in New York. But he's got so many relatives. You've been to Central Park. You know how many dozens and dozens of squirrels there are. So many of his relatives are named for the numbered streets. So he has a sister named 66 and another sister named 67. And Pee-wee and Lexi become very good friends. And that's what happens in my book, Pee-wee's Tale. And I thought I was just going to write one book about him. But by the time I finished writing the book, I had told myself so much about Pee-wee and about Lexi, too, that I decided I better write another book. So I wrote Lexi's Tale. And, of course, Pee-wee's in the book, but it's about Lexi and all his relatives and the things that happen if you're a squirrel living in Central Park. And at the very end of Lexi's tale, another guinea pig is brought to the park. And that guinea pig is named Plush. And if you have a girl guinea pig, which Plush is, and you have a boy guinea pig, which Pee-wee is, something very often happens. In fact, it almost always happens. And that is baby guinea pigs. So in the book Pee-wee and Plush, that's what happens. And there's one more book about them, and it's called Squirrel World. And in that book, Lexi and his cousin Lennox decide that they're going to go and find the streets that they're named after. Because Lennox said, why would our parents give us those names? It must be that Lexington Avenue is the most wonderful place in the world. So they take an adventure going to Lexington Avenue, and they get trapped inside a very famous store on Lexington named Bloomingdale's. But then they get out of Bloomingdale's and they go into another store that I invented because I did not want Bloomingdale's to sue me. So that got changed around a little bit. So that's another series that I did. But I've written lots of other books that are not part of a series. I've written Baseball Fever, which is about a boy who loves baseball more than anything else in the world. When I was your age, I lived in the Bronx, and I lived quite near Yankee Stadium. I lived so near to Yankee Stadium that if somebody hit a home run, we could hear the cheering on my street. So I got to go to a lot of baseball games, and that's why I know enough about baseball to write my book. Sometimes kids say to me, are you going to write Football Fever or Hockey Fever or Soccer Fever or Basketball Fever? And I say no, because Yankee Stadium was near where I live, but Madison Square Garden wasn't near where I live. I didn't get to see other kinds of games. I only saw baseball games. So somebody else who knows more about those sports will have to write those other books. I've written a picture book with beautiful colored pictures on every page that were made by a man named Jerry Pinkney. And the book is called New Shoes for Sylvia. But most of the books I write are chapter books. Now, are there any boys here named David? Nope. Oh, good. All right, good. I thought your name was Cavalier, because that's what it says. Okay. Anybody here have any friends or relatives named David? Okay. Hands down. Well, my son is not named Teddy, and he's not named David. He was in second grade and third grade. The name David was so popular that in his class, there were four boys named David. And he said that it was very confusing. Sometimes his teacher would say, David, stop that. And four boys stopped what they were doing. But only one of them had been fooling around. And sometimes my son would say, Mom, tomorrow, could David come home from school with me? And could he stay and have supper at our house? I'd say, sure. And the next day, four boys came to have supper at my house. But you know what? That was okay, because it gave me a great idea. And I wrote a book about a boy named David who's in a class at school where there are three other Davids in his class. But the boy in my book does not like being confused with the other Davids, and he decides to change his name. And the name he picks is a name that nobody in his class has, nobody in his whole school has. The name he picks is Alibaba. And I wrote a book about him called The Adventures of Alibaba Bernstein. And then I wrote another book about him, Hooray for Alibaba Bernstein. And one more, Alibaba Bernstein, Lost and Found. So that's another little series that I've done. Okay, now, I've written 69 books, so I could talk for a long time about my books, but maybe you've got some questions that you'd like to ask. Okay, if I call on someone, everybody else, put your hands down. We'll all listen to the person I call on, and when I finish answering the question, then you can raise your hand, and I'll call on the next person. But I saw your hand first. What is the title of my next book? Book number 70 is a collection of short stories. And I only wrote one of the stories, but I got the idea for the book. So my name is on the book as the editor who put the book together. And the stories are all about somebody playing a trick on somebody else. And the book is called I Fooled You. And it's going to come out just in time for April 1st. What do we call April 1st sometimes? April Fools, right? So it's going to be ready for April Fools. And one of the people who wrote a story in that book is Megan McDonald, who wrote a story about Judy Moody playing a trick on her brother Stink. And David Adler wrote a story for that book. And a very good poet named Douglas Florian has written a poem for the book. So it's got 10 different stories or one poem. And one of the stories is a graphic story, which is like a little comic strip. So that's the number 70. Okay, right here. What's their real names? My daughter's real name is Nomi. Okay, and my son's real name is Ben, or Benny for short. Okay, yes. The question is, did I see the 40 guinea pigs? I think the only person who saw the 40 guinea pigs was the man who worked in Central Park. And he was so busy running around and capturing them, and he didn't know how many were there. So each time he got it, he'd say, well, thank goodness I got that one. Oh, here's another one. Because they were worried that a guinea pig could never survive in the park because there are hawks overhead that would eat a guinea pig. There are owls in the park. You may never have seen one, but there are owls overhead, and they would eat a guinea pig. There are even raccoons in Central Park, and they would eat a guinea pig. So the man thought, thank goodness I found them all. They could never survive. But I tell how Pee-wee does survive. Okay, yes. How many have I written? I've actually written 5. 4 of them are biographies. That's the life of somebody else. And the 5th one is an autobiography, which means it's a book about me. And the name of the autobiography is A Dream Come True, because it was my dream from since I was your age that I would be an author. Okay? Yes? Okay, good question. Does the same illustrator do all the books in a series? I like it when the same illustrator does all the books in the series so they'll look similar. But sometimes it doesn't work out. For example, the first 3 books about Pee-wee and Lexi are illustrated by an artist named Patience Brewster. And then she decided that she didn't want to illustrate books anymore. And in fact, nowadays she makes wonderful greeting cards. You might even see them sometime in a store. She doesn't illustrate books anymore. So when I wrote Squirrel World, they had to get a different illustrator to make the pictures for that book. And sometimes that's what happens. Yes? Oh, good question. Which is my favorite of the 69 books that I've published? You know, that's like asking your parents which is their favorite child in your family. Parents don't have a favorite. If you're an only child, then they could answer that question. But every child in a family is different, and everyone is special in their own way. Even identical twins are different. And so that's how I feel about my books. Even when they're part of a series, they have different stories in them. So I can't pick one. Now, you could read a bunch of my books. You could have a favorite Johanna Hurwitz book. It's too hard for me. Yes. Start with you. Everybody will get a turn. Go ahead. How many times do I edit my book? That means rewrite it and change it. Well, I used to be able to tell you because I used to write it out and then I'd cross and change things and then I'd retype it and I'd throw away the old pages. Nowadays, I do my writing on a computer. And so after I've written something and I reread it and I want to make changes, I do the changes on the computer screen and I'm not throwing away so much paper. So I can't count all the pages and then I could say, I rewrote that page 7 times. I may have changed it 7 times, but I won't have anything to help me count. So I do it over and over until it's as good as I can do it. And if I think it's boring, you're going to think it's boring. So I have to keep working on it. There's no right number. Okay, back. Yep. How many years have I been writing? Well, you can measure it 2 ways. I brought with me to show you a very special book. This is a book that I wrote when I was 8 years old. It's called Susie Joins the Library. As you can see, I always have loved books and libraries. And after I wrote the story, I wanted it to have pictures like a real book. But even when I was 8 years old, I knew that if I made the pictures, I'd mess it up. But there was a girl in my class who was very, very good at drawing. So I asked her if she would be my illustrator. And she agreed. That's a special picture, right? Now, this is not the way people dressed when I was a little girl. She liked to make old-fashioned-looking pictures. And then I copied it in my very neatest cursive writing. Now, when I went to school, they taught cursive in 1st grade. Nowadays, they don't teach it till 3rd grade. But by the time I was in 3rd grade, I'd been doing it for 2.5 years, so I was able to do it. This is the only copy there is of this book, so that's why I keep it in this plastic bag to take very good care of it. So the question was, how long have I been writing? Well, I wrote this when I was 8, and Busybody Nora was published when I was 38, and now I'm a whole lot older than 38. So that's how long I've been writing. Yes? What's it like? Well, it was my dream. My dream was not to become a famous ice skater or a ballet dancer. My dream was to be an author. So for me, it's wonderful because I'm so happy that I achieved what I wanted to do. Now, my dream was to write a book. I never guessed that I would be able to stand up in front of an audience and say, I have finished my 70th book. My dream was to write a book. But it was so much fun that I wrote another one, and another one, and another one. Okay. How many books have I written that have not been published? Well, I have several, but I am not unhappy because I think they might get published in time. I never throw anything out. Anything that doesn't get published is in the bottom drawer of my desk, and from time to time I'll take it out and reread it and see if I can think of a way to make it better. So, for example, I wrote what I thought was a picture story, picture book, about a boy who had a llama. And the editor at the publishing company said, no, it doesn't work. But I liked it. And I liked the idea of writing a book about a llama. So I put it in my drawer for a while. And then I got an idea of how to make a chapter book about that same boy and his llama, but with more details. And that was published as A Llama in the Family. So I don't give up. Yes? Good question. What do I do if the computer is out of power? Well, in the old days, I would have even used a typewriter. But I threw out my typewriter because I couldn't find anyone to sell me ribbons. They don't do that anymore. So what I would have to do is get a piece of paper and a pencil and write on paper. And then when the computer is up and running again with the power, then I could copy on the computer, whatever I wrote. But that was a good question. Good question. I brought a couple of things to show you besides that little book I did when I was little. Can anybody guess what this is? It's not Chinese, it's Japanese. And it's my book, Class Clown. And when boys and girls read this book in Japan, they turn the pages this way, which looks a little strange to us, but they would think reading English is strange. And then they read it this way. I didn't write it. I wrote it in English. And somebody in Japan read it and said, this is a book boys and girls in Japan would enjoy reading. And so they put it into Japanese, because I don't know any Japanese. I can't read this book. My name is on the cover, but I'm not sure where. But it makes me very proud to know that even though I've never gone to Japan, Lucas Cott, the class clown, is in Japan. I have one other book to show you. Can you guess what language this is? Yes. No, this is not Hebrew. Yes? It's Braille. So you can't really see anything, can you? But if you touched it, you could feel that there are little bumps on the page. And in fact, they've got it worked out so they can put bumps on both sides of each page. But it's not just bumps. Each series of little bumps represent letters, And so somebody who's blind learns how to feel those little marks, and they can read with their fingers. So again, here's a book I can't read, but it makes me very happy to know that somebody who is blind could sit down. They don't even need to turn the light on, right? And they could feel with their finger and read the story. So many of my books are in Braille. And I have books that are in Dutch. Pee-wee is in Dutch. I have books in French. I have books in Spanish. I have books in German. And I have books in English. Okay, yes. Okay, the stories about Russell are stories that I thought about a lot. Now, authors talk to themselves a lot. Now, you know, if you're walking down the street, you might hear people talking. Usually it's because they're on a cell phone. I talk to myself a lot, but I don't talk out loud because I'm not on a cell phone. I'm talking to myself silently, and I'm asking myself questions. What would Russell do if he was walking down the street and he saw something? Take this morning. When you went to school this morning, was it very windy? It was very windy at my house. And I thought about it. Suppose somebody was going to school and they had a homework assignment that they did. Maybe they did a book report and they made a nice cover for it and they were holding it in their hand. And suppose they weren't holding too tight, and the wind was so strong, it blew it away. What would they do? What would they tell the teacher? Or maybe it would blow away, but they catch it, but maybe a car went over it, so it's all dirty, and it's got tire tracks on it. And the teacher says, "Who did this dirty report?" Right? I'm always thinking about what I could write about. And I get ideas just from walking out in the street and it's being windy. So that's how I get ideas about Russell, about Nora, about Teddy, and about all the other children in my books. Yes? You're right. If Teddy went out and it was windy, the wind would blow his cape. It would be almost like flying. Yes? This is a book called Much Ado About Aldo, and that's part of another series that I've done. Now, it just so happens that this book is out of print. That means if you went into a bookstore, they wouldn't have it to sell because they're not making any more copies. They sold all the copies they had. But you know what? If you go to a library, you could find it. So even when a book isn't available in a store anymore, you can often find the copy in the library and borrow it. So, yes? Well, when doesn't somebody have to go to school? Did you have school on Tuesday? You didn't have school? Today? What kind of a holiday was today? Okay, well, that's a good reason to have a day off. But some schools were closed on Tuesday because it was Veterans Day. Was that yesterday? No, I think it was Tuesday. Yeah. No, I didn't say Election Day. Veterans. Yesterday was, yeah. You know what? Yesterday morning, I got up. I got dressed, and I had a whole pile of packages to mail. I forgot, you're right. And I walked half a mile to the post office. And when I got there, the door was locked. And I said, "What's the matter with these people? They're late today. Nobody's here." And you know why? Because it was a holiday. And I got so confused, I forgot. And you know, sometimes when there's people and they do speed walking, and they have weights for for exercising. Well, that's what I was like yesterday with these heavy packages walking to the post office. Yeah, and I got confused. So, yes, Wednesday, yesterday was a holiday. Yes. And I certainly could write about it. You know, that's one of the best things about being an author is when something happens, instead of getting angry at myself for being so stupid, I just say, okay, I'll have to write about it. Excuse me? About the weights. Well, sometimes people walk and they carry weights to build up their muscles as they're walking. And I was carrying weights, but it wasn't the kind of weights they sell. I had packages. Yes?
How old was your daughter when she introduced herself to everyone in the building, and for how long did she continue calling the women?
My daughter started, I guess, maybe 4 or 5. And we eventually found out the name of the woman, and so she didn't use that name anymore. No, I think we found out the woman's name pretty quickly. And they're actually about a name. This is W. And that was the real name of the neighbor that we had. And before the book came out, I said to her, I'm writing a book, and I would like to borrow your real name if you'll let me. And she was amazed, and she said, oh, of course, go right ahead. She was in her 80s at the time. And when the book came out, she was thrilled. And every time she saw me after that, she'd say, are you writing another book about me? And I get a lot of mail from classes and from individual children. And a class wrote to me from someplace in the Midwest, I don't remember now where, and they asked about the characters in the Nora and Teddy books. And I said, you know, pretty soon it's going to be Mrs. Wurmbrand's 100th birthday, and her family is planning a party, and I've been invited. And the class sent me an envelope filled with birthday cards made by first and second graders. It was wonderful. So at the birthday party, I presented her with those. And I said, and I want you to see that you are famous all over the United States because people know your name all over. She lived to be about 103. Yes?
She lived to be
100
years old?
Over 100, 103. Yep. I know, it's very unusual. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes? You know what? I forgot. I've written so many books, I've forgotten. And I don't live in that building anymore, so I don't remember. It was something like Wentworth or something, Ellsworth, Mrs. Ellsworth, because children get confused, and sometimes they'd call her Mrs. Woolworth, which was a store that went out of business but used to be. Yeah, Mrs. Ellsworth. Yeah, that's the name. Okay, any other questions? Yeah, sure. It's not that good. But, you know, the great thing about it is that I can show my first book to kids and say, I wanted to be a writer when I was in third grade. And, you know, adults say things to kids, and kids often say, oh, yeah, you say that. Is that true? You know, you're just making it up. But I've got the proof. So that's why I bring the book around to show. If you actually read it or had me read it, which kids often ask, it's boring. It's not so good. The good thing... Right. And in fact, people say, oh, wasn't your mother wonderful to keep that? My mother was throwing things out all the time. We had a very small apartment. We had very little closet space. So she was constantly throwing things out. I held on to that because of my friend's illustrations. My friend never became a book illustrator, but she still is my friend. And she is artistic.